This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
A power brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. Six great flavors of slushies. Pickle bar led by the barrels and the dills. Indeed, second to none. All of Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. The beverage supermarket. All right. My good friend, the best out there, Tony Knopp. Too long, my friend. I always say that every time we start. Far too long.
It has been, but it's summertime. It's the fun part now.
Yeah, the fun part. I want to start, if you don't mind, with private equity.
Oh, boy.
I just did a story this week about Red Lobster, where Thai Union, and I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but Thai Union was brought in for a 49% share of Red Lobster, and they've now run it to bankruptcy because Red Lobster's ownership essentially ceded control of the day-to-day operation.
I think they closed 51 stores in the last 2 weeks, right? Is that what I just read? 51 locations?
Yep.
Yeah.
So how do you look at private equity with universities and athletic departments? And how important is keeping control moving forward?
So we have private equity investors here. I advise private equity funds regularly, so I know them very well. I know how they work. I know what their intent is, and I know what they try to do. There are so many kinds of private equity funds out there that it's kind of like comparing Penn State football to Grand Canyon, right, which is a private, for-profit Christian university in Phoenix. I mean, they're very, very different organizations in how they do things, but they compete in the same league. Private equity is kind of the same way. There's Chop Shop private equity, which is what happened with Red Lobster. You know, they come in, they try to benefit the bottom line. They make a lot of cuts. You know, the big names, if anybody has heard them, is, you know, the Toma Bravos of the world, people like that. What's happened with private equity is they've generally invested in businesses that we all understand, like Red Lobster and others, but they've really gotten into sports in the last 15 years. There are some private equity funds that are sports only, Bruin Sports Capital and others, and there's other really major ones that the listeners, bear with me on this one, you won't know who they are, but then when I start talking about what they do, you will know. So, you know, there's Arctos Sports Partners, there's Silver Lake, there's Sixth Street. Now, okay, those names don't mean much to you, but the New York Yankees do. The Dallas Cowboys do. Leeds United football team does. San Francisco 49ers do, right? These are the private equity funds that help acquire those teams or acquire the companies that are supporting those teams. And it has so much success in sports that they want to get involved on the university side because they see how fast it's changing. I mean, there was just a court decision a couple weeks ago where now the universities are allowed to pay their players.
Right.
And they see this as kind of a wild west, like this is all going to change and they want to be involved. And so it is going to be so fascinating if, you know, so the NFL, for example, is not allowing private equity to take control of a team. And the NBA was the first to do this. The NBA started allowing private equity in, I think, 2 years ago with the San Antonio Spurs. And you can hold part of the team, but you can't have a ownership interest in the team. They have a lot of rules about that. But the universities, they don't have a lot of rules yet. So I am dubious at best about this. When everything moves to for-profit all the time, how does that align with the charter for Penn State or with the charter for USC or for the universities that they're tied to? I just don't know how those can coexist.
And that's what I'm interested to see, because somebody that would be interested would be Redbird.
Yeah.
Redbird. Yep. Redbird is, yep, Jerry Cardinal. And LeBron James has shares in Redbird, I believe. They have equity in the Penguins, the Red Sox, and AC Milan, if I'm correct.
And Liverpool, right?
And Liverpool because of the Fenway, the Fenway Group.
Yeah, Fenway Sports Partners.
With John Henry. So they have Liverpool, AC Milan. It seems that on the surface that they don't get involved in the day-to-day operation of what's going on.
When Redford private not yet, no.
Right, not yet. Now, they say that, now, this is Jerry Cardinal's quote, and this goes back to December when he spoke at the Sports Business Journal conference in Las Vegas. He feels that Redbird might be interested in 5 to 10 college programs. And when they asked about the value of Michigan, he said Michigan's value would be about a billion. That was his quote. Okay. When you're involved in private equity, what do they usually want in return?
So I'll keep it as simple as possible. Generally, businesses have different investment structures that they look for, right? Venture capital is kind of the entry level, high return, higher risk business, right? They're on one side of the spectrum. They're all the way to the left side of the spectrum, which is, and that's what we had originally. I'm going to invest in 18 companies. Three of them are going to be blowout good. Three of them might do okay, and the rest are going to go under. And that's okay with me because the three that are going to do well, one of them might do 100 times return on my investment. So I'll put in $2 million, and I'll get $1 billion out of it in 10 years. On the far, far, far right side is bank lending, right, which is very low returns, super safe. I need to know every single thing there is to know about Steve Jones, and I'm going to know what you're spending on milk every month, and I'm hoping to get a couple of points. Private equity is more towards the bank side. So private equity is looking for, you know, generally private equity funds hold between 5 and 10 companies per fund, and they're looking for like a 20% return year over year, right? They're looking for well-known businesses that are returning capital. And what they generally want to do is they see an opportunity to make that organization run better. Now, in the case of Red Lobster, they're saying, you got a lot of crappy stores that we need to close, and we're going to do that, and our profitability is going to go way up. And it's just, it's, you know, there's a lot of those private equity funds out there. It's awful. They lay a bunch of people off. It makes you think of Gordon Gekko on Wall Street. It's just the way it is.
Yes.
There's other private equity firms like Redbird, like Bruin, like Sixth Street, like those who look at this and they say, okay, well, we already have an ownership interest in a couple of other teams. And if we synergize our spend here, we can leverage the data analytics company we have an investment in to make Michigan a better school, to help them sell more tickets. We can get them a better deal on hospitality because at Sixth Street, we also own food and beverage through Legends Hospitality, right? Yep. And so that's what they're looking for when they do a deal like this. They look at a well-defined business like Michigan Sports, and they say, we're going to put money into it. We're also going to create some scale, right? And that's been, I don't want to go on too much of a tangent, but that's kind of been something that's been happening in college sports for a while.
Right.
There's a company that I don't know if the listeners know of it, Learfield. What they do is they say, you know it.
Yes. Who do you think we've been with?
Good friend.
Yeah. Well, this is our last week with Learfield, by the way. So.
Oh, there you go. Learfield, there's JMI, there's Playfly, there's a number out there.
Penn State
and what they're doing is saying...
Penn State goes to Playfly on a Friday night.
Goes to Playfly. They go to Mike Schreiber. I know Mike very well. He's a great he's a great guy.
Great guy.
I talk to him all the time. So what they're doing is they're saying, okay, if you go out there on your own, Penn State, and you try to hire a sales team to sell sponsorships both locally and nationally, it's going to be very difficult for you to get the scale that a national organization is going to have, where they're going to say, hey, we've got a database of 15 million companies. We're doing massive deals with large brands who want to do multiple teams at once, right? They don't just want Penn State. They want Penn State, and they want, you know, another mega team in each one of the regions. And so they create these efficiencies. That's what private equity is looking at with these universities. They're saying, if we can bring efficiency to these universities, they can make more money. At least that's their thesis.
Hmm. All right, so now, with the House ruling, what it'll do is it'll go back to Judge Claudia Wilken, and she's the one that has to eventually rubber stamp the settlement between all sides, which we all expect she will do. Starting in the fall of 2025, schools will have to start paying their athletes. The Penn State and USC number will be $22 million, right? Not 20, it'll be $22 million. And that's, I mean, and those schools will be able to handle this. So now let's take one step further. One thing that you don't see, that you see in the NBA, especially Major League Baseball, NHL, and in the NFL training camps, not in the regular season, training camps, sponsorships on the jersey.
Mm-hmm.
You know this very well. So give me an idea on Major League Baseball and the NBA, because these sponsorships on the jerseys, Vistaprint, Crypto.com, whatever it happens to be, are visible are visible on TV, but not to the fan in the stands. What is that worth potentially in college football based on what you know about the NBA numbers and the Major League Baseball numbers?
NBA and baseball, anywhere from $3 to $15 million a year, depending on what market you're in.
Yeah.
If you are in a major market, you can get $15 million. You can get Vistaprint on the Celtics jersey. You can get the Spear, which is kind of an inside baseball deal on the Knicks. But there's still teams that don't have deals, and they've been trying for a while. I think the Texas Rangers just finally got a deal. They're the world champions. I think the Devil Rays, smaller markets, they're having trouble. And so it's just going to become more and more haves and have-nots. I mean, you and I have been talking about this since 2018.
Yes,
right? We're on year 6 or 7 of saying that it's a matter of time before college football is the Premier League. Like, we're just following a already well-known, well-studied market. And guess who owns most of the teams in the Premier League? It's either private equity or outside interests, right? That's where we're headed with this. And it's scary for some schools and exciting for others. Like, if you're SMU and you have super deep pocketed alumni, and you know, you've kind of been on the outskirts of college football since the Pony Express in the 80s, then this is the best thing you've ever heard of, right? You've got oil money down there that you're ready to put to work to start competing. What I've been reading lately is how they're going to try to negotiate once she passes the, once she signs it into law. How do you start doing multi-year deals? How do you start doing multi-year NIL deals? How do you start locking players up? Because everybody is aware that the transfer portal is a thing, and they don't like it, and they don't like it for the sport. So how do we get to a position where signing day means something again, right? Because now what's happening is a lot of the signing day sponsors are saying, well, I don't care about signing day anymore because all you're doing is telling me where you're going to play next year.
Right.
Right. And I don't know if you're going to be there beyond that. So this introduction of private equity, this introduction of jersey sponsorship, this introduction of new revenue streams is really leading us towards what you and I have been talking about for a long time, which is college football playoff, which we're finally here. That's kind of a UEFA Champions League. It's the same exact thing. And then you're going to have your divisions, and you can have your separate cups and bowls that go along that. People get terrified to say, well, then the Fiesta Bowl is not going to mean anything. But go tell everybody in Europe that the FA Cup doesn't mean anything.
Right?
I mean, Manchester United and City just dueled it out, and it was one of the most highly watched games we've had in the last 10 years.
Yep.
So I just think that's the way we're headed. And you have blue blood matchups, you know, October 12th, Penn State and USC, right? We're just headed that direction, and all the businesses around it are seeing it. History doesn't repeat itself. People do. And I think they're just looking at what's happening in these other sports and just replicating it, right? I think all these private equity guys are going, okay, well, look, here's what we did in the Premier League. Here's what we just did in the NBA. Here's what's coming in the NFL. What's next? Well, college football, of course.
That's why I feel administrators need to study this Study the European football model. Study it. That way you can put together, if you decide to go private equity, you can put together a deal that works for the private equity firm and for you.
Right.
Right.
Well, here's what's terrifying about it is if you look at what happened in European football, at least in England, which is the biggest league, the Premiership, is mm-hmm. the top teams got out in front of it and just said, look, you know, we have loyalty to the rest of the teams in the FA,
right.
but not really.
Yeah.
You know, it's Everton, Arsenal, Chelsea, you know, those teams. That's where Penn State and USC sit right now, right?
That's right.
I mean,
that's right.
So at some point, who's going to – this isn't a collectively bargained agreement like you see in the pro leagues where people are going to look out for franchises. They're not. This is going to be a haves and a have-nots. And if you're a team that's sitting on the line of a have and a have-not, and I'd use an example locally, UCLA.
I was
locally,
about to bring that up.
Relatively locally for you guys. Pitt.
Yep.
What do you do if you're Pitt right now? Right? You're not a blue blood anymore, but you're on the line, and now you're in trouble because this is going to split into Group of Five and majors, college football playoff, mm-hmm. maybe one of them will get to come play in like they do in the Champions League. You know, maybe this is the time you look at private equity. I mean, if you look at UCLA, they had a $106 million deficit. That's why they did the Big Ten deal.
That's right.
Right? They had to do the deal. Yeah. They're broke.
Right.
And they want to compete on a national level. So this all has happened before, right? I'm not trying to bore anybody, but if you look at, like, Leeds United, for listeners who don't know what Leeds United is, Leeds United was one of the premium sports teams in the world. They were a multi-time champion of Europe, and in 2003 they had an owner who was kind of like Pitt, kind of like UCLA. They went all in to try to get to the UEFA Champions League and get the £20 million that go with it, and they didn't get in. Declared bankruptcy, sold twice. Leeds fell all the way down to Division Three, which would be like the Boston Red Sox playing in an independent league in Cape Cod.
Mm-hmm.
And then they eventually got their way back to, not in the second league, they were in the Premiership last year. They lost in the playoff last week to get up. But if you're sitting there and you're an administrator at a school like West Virginia, at UCLA, at, I mean, I hate to say it, I mean, yes, you have the conference looking up for you, but Illinois in football.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Right? You're looking at this and you're terrified. You're saying, well, this is not a good time for us to be down as a program because this great divide is happening. And
well, I'll give you the great divide. Hey, USC can afford the $22 million per year.
Easily.
UCLA can't.
Cannot. No,
and okay, Pitt can't. Illinois, I don't think, can. And here's the other part. Let's remember, UCLA has to give $10 million of what it's doing to Cal Berkeley for 3 years.
Yeah. And Cal has essentially given up on big-time college sports. Cal and Stanford have both said, we're not going to retrofit our stadium. Stanford, you know, this is out west, so I don't know how much they get paid attention to back east, but Stanford's a perfect example of, you know, Stanford Stadium seated 95,000 people. Now it seats 35. They still don't sell it out.
Yeah.
They don't care, and they're not going to. They've decided we do Olympic sports. We're not interested in big-time college football. And that's the concern is if you're UCLA, you're saying, okay, I've got to give $10 million to Cal. I've got the money. I've got protection from the Big Ten, but I'm taxpayer-funded in a state that doesn't want to give any more money to sports.
That's right.
So it's just going to be so fascinating. And if you're a private equity brand, though, that's the logo you're looking at. You have your blue bloods. You have Penn State. You have Whiskey. You have Michigan, right? Wisconsin is the most highly attended college sports town in the world. I saw Penn State was in the top 10. But they sell out everything, right? That's a sure thing bet. But there's also going to be investors that look at this and say, okay, here's a brand that could be national in UCLA. They're hurt. I can get a pretty good deal here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll put $22 million, but I'm going to take some control here.
Yeah. Oh, they can lowball them. They can lowball them and get involved. Penn State has, for brand name, second highest attendance in the country. And from 2016 to 2023, 241 million viewers, which in that time frame is number six in the country. I mean, they're attractive for people who want to get involved.
Yes. That's a surefire bet. And those are the kind of brands that Jerry Cardinal is going to look at. He's going to look at those brands and say, I want Penn State, Michigan, right, Alabama, Texas, I want surefire money. You know, it's, and we've seen that happen across sports in general, where things have just been undervalued, right? You know, somebody looks at the Golden State Warriors at $420 million in 2012, and now they're worth $6.5 billion, right? It's an undervalued asset. That's what they're looking at. But then you're going to have those private equity shops we were talking about that are going to say, okay, where is there a brand that used to be a national brand that we can put some money into and maybe make a national brand again? Pitt fits UCLA fits into that. You're looking for programs that are a little bit down right now that maybe their great days are behind them. You know who the number one poster child for all this is going to be? If I gave you a guess, you'd guess it in a second, but it's Miami. 100% it's Miami. Yep. Right? They are going to be the first team to get a ton of private equity money and get all that clout behind them. But it's going to change the sport completely. And it's due time, but I just think it's going to be really ugly for the next 5 to 7 years. Nobody knows what the rules are. There's going to be a lot of cheating because there's no central organization until eventually we all accept it. It's the college football playoff who is at the end of the line of all of this that's going to litigate from the back.
Yeah.
Right. And essentially say, like, look, if you break the rules, we're not going to let you play. And this is where it is. And that's what UEFA does for club soccer. UEFA says, if you break the rules, you can't. Like, for example, the new owner of Manchester United also owns Nice in France.
Yes.
Nice and Manchester United are supposed to play in the Europa League next year, and you can't have two teams in the Europa League, so he's going to have to figure out what happens. Right? These are rules we don't have in place. If Jerry Cardinal puts money into Penn State and Michigan, there's no rule or guideline that stops Penn State from playing Michigan on the field tomorrow.
That's right. That's right. But the next key part to me, most people want to stay away from anything congressional with this because the government, let's be straight, the government isn't really good at running a lot of things, especially if it's not something they're used to doing. I mean, you know, it's not a sports entity. I mean, I think that's a fair statement.
Well, it's 100% fair. Yes.
But what the NCAA does need from them to at least have some relevance and all, if they can get an antitrust exemption, that would give them the power to negotiate a deal with the players on collective bargaining to put structure around this. Would that be fair?
Yeah. I don't think it would just be fair. I think it would be better for the sport.
Yes.
I mean, so if you look, again, Premier League, probably the most mature, non-collectively bargained agreement there is the Premier League, right? Like, we could point to the NFL. That is by far the most mature. Their collective bargaining is the best in the world. But we're miles from that in the university system in the NCAA right now. But at least there you have multi-year deals, and there's a transfer window. There's two transfer windows, just like there are for universities. But people don't generally do transfers until the year before their contract is up, and sometimes there's a trade between the organizations. Right? We don't have any of that protection in college sports right now. If you're Quinn Ewers and you go to Ohio State, you can transfer to Texas next year. If you're Joe Burrow and you're at Ohio State, you can transfer to LSU next year, right? Mm-hmm. And these things happen, and that's fine. But is that what's good for the sport? Do people just want to watch one kid come in 1 year? I mean, I hate to sound like the old man, but I liked watching kids grow in the program.
Yeah. Me too. You are the greatest. I mean, that was a half hour that felt like 3 minutes.
We'll do it again soon.
We'll do it again soon. I hope you are well, my friend. And by the way, tell Pete Arbogast that Penn State's now part of the Play 5 family, all right?
I love it. I'll do that.
Okay. Thanks. Thanks so much, Tony.
Okay, talk soon.
Tony Knopp. Man, that went like that. The Sue will be on next to refute all this. His first question is, what did they talk about?
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patience. patronage.
You want a unique way to display your brand. You need a team of seasoned experts to work with. You want to reach customers who buy. You want NIL Game Changers, a versatile consulting agency powered by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents. NIL Game Changers will help you build powerful relationships with customers through compelling stories, with student athlete influencers as your leading edge. Finally, we'll equip you with the right media to drive your success home. NILGameChangers.org, building meaningful relationships with your customers.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Indeed. Great to be with you on this Wednesday. Our thanks to Tony Knopp. We're going to get into this in a moment. Man, that went by like that. That was something else. It's one thing you want to do with a show like this. You want to do whatever you can to be informative, so that when the show is over, did you learn more about the topic? See, that's the whole thing. When the show's over, did you learn more about something? Tony Knopp, I think, did that today. So, this half hour brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory. I can tell you firsthand, the buying experience, tremendous. Bought a new Ford. Didn't go pre-owned. I went new. Chris was great. Jared was great. They all were great. Just turned it into a tremendous experience all the way through, and I'm thrilled with what I have. Pre-owned inventory. Plenty of it. It all has the Sunbury Motors guarantee. Very important. Very important. Ease of the buying experience. And a great service department. Routine, which of course you have to have. Routine maintenance done. And the difficult, they can handle it. All at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Now, Todd has had experience in what he's done, where he can give you the horrors of private equity. Fair statement?
Yes. And okay. Tony didn't seem all that thrilled at the beginning of the conversation by it either.
But he does point out that if done properly, and again, it has to be, what do they expect but you keeping control? See, in the newspaper business, your people weren't keeping control.
Well, private equity was going to solve, you know, ads in the internet and all that stuff for them, so they thought as well.
Right. Exactly. And you have to go in with the expectation of, look, if you go private equity, you don't have to give them 49%. Who says you have to give them 49%? You don't. Which is what Red Lobster did. Then eventually, it's easy to go from 49 to 51, as you well know. And that's the issue, is how much control, because the people that know how to run it need to be the people that continue to run it. You can't allow it to get out of control. Now, those in private equity want something. They want return. You, on the other hand, want their money, so you want something, but you also have the power. And I'm sensing that there are people who have lost control of this, and the reason they lost control of it was that they were in a deep hole and probably panicked and gave up too much in the deal. That would be my guess.
Well, and you guys, you know, brought up some schools that certainly have the possibility to be those that panic and you know, might end up being the cautionary tale.
Right, exactly. And that's why I brought it up. I mean, look, there are schools. I can't picture Pitt coming up with $22 million to pay players. I mean, this is like for all their sports. I can't picture it. I can't. Because when I look at the ACC contract, when I look at their attendance at football and now basketball, because their basketball attendance was no better than okay this year, okay? When I see all that, I'm asking myself, where are they going to get the money? And I'm not trying to be a jerk about it because it's Pitt. No, I mean, everybody knows I treat Pitt fairly. I think it's just a question that needs to be asked. Where are they going to find the money? Because this now becomes something that every athletic department has to deal with. That's why we brought up UCLA. UCLA already has to take $10 million of its TV money, and they have to give it to Cal for each of the next 3 years. Where are they going to find the money for the $22 million to pay players? And they might be, and he said that, look, somebody like that, well, they might be ripe to have private equity come in and say, hey, what do you guys think? We can do this.
Well, you know, I don't know how many states are like California and have their state schools still interlocked, but it's not, UCLA is not the only state school in California that's going to have to come up with $22 million either.
Well, USC, of course, is not a state school. They're a private school.
Well, I guess it's just the Power Five conferences that will have to come up with $22 million, right? But, I mean,
it's the Power Four. So Cal and Stanford would have to be in that boat. But, again, you're not forced to give. I think it has to be 22%. So the 22%, see, it's the percentage. We may sit there and look at what they have and what they don't have. And when it comes to 22%, it doesn't rise to $22 million at UCLA, Cal, or Stanford. Well, now Stanford's private, but then you're expected to compete. So say they get the 22%. Let's say, for the sake of argument, UCLA's 22% is $14 million. Okay, which it would be $8 million less than USC. How do you compete with that? They're already struggling to compete with them anyway.
Again, I think I agree with the part about, you know, it might not be the Premier League, but we're kind of getting to that point where, you know, you're going to have some schools that are going to have to make some tough decisions in 4 or 5 years on in what sports or in what level they want to compete.
Oh, my goodness, yes. That's why when I was talking about Beaver Stadium, I said, what are your expectations? Now, number one, the structure needs at least $100 to $150 million. The structure needs it. I haven't even gotten into all the bells and whistles. Right? Now, once you're done with that, now what do you expect? You're investing into what level you think you should be competing at. And because it wasn't done for years and years and years, and it was left idle and pushed down the road and left idle and pushed down the road, left idle, pushed down the road, and so forth. Right? Now you're stuck. Not stuck. But you're at a point where you have to do it. And by the way, they're going to start doing the work on Jeffrey Field shortly. And then, of course, the practice bubble. But you're investing. To me, that's investing. Do I think Penn State's going to get it back? Yeah, I do, as a matter of fact. I really do. I'm not being naive. I've talked it over with enough people about how they think they can do it. I think they can do it. It'll take time. But I believe that.
I kind of feel like, not intentionally, but this last 2 days has kind of been a complete defense of that project. When you listen to what other athletic departments are going to have to do to come up with this money, they've been at least a little bit proactive in kind of getting this done right as this starts. And hopefully, you know, like you said, they can produce the money that it needs to produce to kind of help out with this.
Yeah. And look, and this is where so much of this comes into play, that when you look at everything that comes, the one thing you want to avoid, you know, there's several things you want to avoid. One of them is when I watch a Premier League soccer match, and you know, I'll watch a few minutes here and there, but I have to look up in the corner box to see who's red, Liverpool, okay, got it, who's blue. Because on the front of the jerseys, it says Fly Emirates on it. Okay. I mean, it's like that in golf right now. Right? Hey, it's the Travelers Championship. All right, Todd, where's the Travelers Championship?
I have no idea.
Right. It's in Cromwell, Connecticut. It's the old Greater Hartford Open. They don't name the tournaments anymore after the cities. Quail Hollow. I'm supposed to know that, Charlotte. Really? Okay. Now, there's certain tournaments you already know. The Memorial, everybody knows, is Jack Nicklaus's tournament. So, I mean, that's easy. But so many tournaments now, it goes by the sponsor name. Okay. The ReliaQuest Bowl. That's one thing about the college football playoff. You know what? They force them to put the name back in it. I just did the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl. They told the Peach Bowl people, if you want to bid to be in this, you have to put Peach back into the name of the game. It can't just be the Chick-fil-A Bowl. So I do give them credit for that. At least, like, okay, now, all right, now I know what we're talking about here. You know? But a lot of these places, right, you go to do a bowl game, okay. I've done the Capital One Bowl, Capital One Bowl. Where's the Capital One Bowl? It's now the Citrus Bowl. But, you know, things are, because of sponsor, I don't want sponsorship to be so overwhelming you lose the identity of it. That would be my concern. Don't lose your identity. Don't cede control of your product, and don't lose your identity. So we talk about the NBA and a patch. You see Vistaprint. But it says across the front Celtics or Boston on the jersey too. So they have not lost their identity. Sixers, crypto.com. Still says Sixers across the front of the jersey, or you know, or PHILA. So they haven't lost their identity at all. That's good. But they've also sold the sponsorship. Well, in college sports, they're not going to lose their identity. And you're not going to sit there and say, hey, Sonic is going to be the sponsor of Penn State football, and I'm going to put a big Sonic thing on the side of the helmet. It's not going to happen. That's not happening. Okay? So you can't lose control of your product, and you cannot lose your identity. To me, those are important. Those are two very important parts, at least to me. How do you feel about that?
Well, I think I agree with you, but I don't. You know, we're talking about amounts of money that I don't know if there's a choice later on if they that you know it might come to that. Let's be honest. I mean, that's $22 million a year in perpetuity is a lot of freaking money.
Yes, it is. That's why I feel a two-prong attack of sponsorship and possibly private equity. All right, one can bring you 10 to 15 million, which makes up for a big chunk of this, and then you don't need as much private equity at that point. If you can work this right, you can be smart about it. That's how I look at it. And don't get greedy with it. Don't get greedy with it. Because part of going with private equity, at least for a portion, and part of it of going with sponsorship, which is really, you have to secure it. That's the difficult part, but it's an easy way of getting cash once you sell it. And putting a patch on a jersey, what don't you have to do at that point? You don't have to make up for it by going to donors. That's what I'm talking about.
I kind of took notice of this last night watching the NBA game. They played that Chris Paul State Farm commercial over and over again, and he was in uniform, and that Rakuten ad is right in the middle of a State Farm ad, and I wonder if they could, do a little synergy there to help themselves out as well.
Sure. I mean, there's a lot of ways to work it, and you can tell that State Farm and Rakuten had no problem with him wearing the team jersey and putting it out there. Number one, Rakuten's not a competitor of State Farm.
I'm not even sure what Rakuten is.
All right, one final break. Back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Spring has sprung, and it's time to dust off those insurance policies. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855 or visit our website at purdyinsurance.com to see what we can do for you.
By the way, you asked about Rakuten. They're an e-commerce group, Todd. They're multifaceted, but they're e-commerce. You want to know what their deal with the Warriors is? It's a 3-year deal, $60 million. It's $20 million a year.
You're getting those ubiquitous State Farm ads. That probably pays off for them quite quickly.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, they're into finance and so forth, but essentially they're e-commerce.
We're learning all kinds of things today.
That's why I showed up. Don't forget, a little bit later, we'll be sending an interpretation in monosyllabic words to the suit about what the show is about today.